Hello, my name's Kimberly and I'm founder of Who Get in the Early Years, which is an international hub for supporting early years teaching, training and inspiration. And with all the work I do, I'm all about empowering early educators and parents to be the very best version of themselves by embracing the Danish way of living well, which is known as hygge. So hello, welcome to this week's podcast. We have had another tricky week here. As you can tell, I'm still not 100%. I have some sort of throat infection, which just won't shift. And poor Oliver just can't get better either. He's been backwards and forwards to the doctors quite a lot this week and got to have a few different tests done just to try and find out what it is that's making him poorly, because he's really not himself. So it's been a tricky week, but we've managed to find a little bit of time here to record this week's podcast, as I do love doing it and being here with you all and listening to your feedback as well. I've had some really lovely messages recently about how you're finding this podcast really, really useful, and it's helping to give you lots of ideas and inspiration for getting outside in nature and finding the joy in the season as well. So this week we will look at ladybirds. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of a hook of just heading out into the garden, the grassland, the woodland. Maybe take a ladybird spotter sheet with you. If you're signed up to my Rewilding Wanderlust program, you can download this from the course page. If not, there's many different ones online that you could use and download. But go out, go and have a look for some ladybirds. I always think first-hand experiences in nature are so important. So just spend an hour outside looking at the different types of ladybirds. And at first you might think, gosh, we can't find anywhere. Where are they? And actually, the longer we're out looking, the closer we look, the more we will start to see. Often when we go out on a walk, we're so quick to just get to our end destination that we can stop to actually pause and look at all the things along the way. And that's the beauty of going out for a walk with a toddler, I think. They dawdle. They see that snail that's munching away on a dandelion leaf, or they see that little ladybird sat amongst the nettles that we just sometimes walk by and miss. So really try and slow down this week and notice where the ladybirds are. Make a mental note of what types of foliage you're finding them on. We have found lots and lots on nettles recently, and that's because ladybirds love nettles. So if you can, in your outdoor space, try and leave some nettles so that little creatures can come and have a nibble. We want to be inviting ladybirds into our gardens and outdoor spaces because they do a really good job then of eating all the little bugs that the slugs like to eat. So then we don't have as many slugs in our garden that are eating all of our lovely plants. So if you can, try and leave some nettles in your garden. I know it's tricky with young children around. We have nettles in our garden and we have a 27-month-old. And from a very early age, we've talked about nettles, we've talked about how they sting, but we've also talked about the positives as well with our toddler. So do have these conversations. We don't want to just always create this rosy picture of nature that everything's always perfect and beautiful. We want to create that real life understanding of nature and help children see why things are there. If we always remove the danger of something like nettles for the fear of a child getting stung on them, then a child won't know how to cope and react and respond when they do find themselves in an environment that's got more nettles there. So let's do our job of teaching them the good and the bad things about nature. So what could we do if our children are really interested in ladybirds? Well, we could make some ladybirds out of leaves. So we could collect some leaves and we could get our paints out and we could paint these in red and put some black dots on, maybe make a collection of different types of ladybirds. You could grab a ball of clay. We like to use air drying clay. I think it's the best. And take that ball of clay out with you and think about how you could make a ladybird by adding sticks. You could add some leaves for its wings. You could push some small rocks into it for the spots. Just see where the children's imaginations go. And then another idea that I have is to also create some transient artwork of a ladybird. So go into nature, collect some different colours that represent the colours you see on a ladybird, and maybe come together as a group and create your own big picture of a ladybird that the children can fill in with the colours of nature that they find. I often find if we're doing transient art for the first few times, just to use some chalk to create an outline for the children to fill in, can help with this. Now, legend has it that if you catch a ladybird gently on your hand, you can make a wish and that wish should come true. So why not make up your own story? Do a little bit of storytelling together about a child that makes a wish on a ladybird and it comes true. Maybe add some ladybird wings or play silks into your outdoor area and see how the children use these. And then, if we're thinking about some barefoot opportunities for this week, because we know barefoot learning is so important, why not paint some ladybirds outdoors on a long stretch of paper using your toes? So, dipping them into the paint, feeling and exploring how the paint is on your toes. Is it cold? Is it gooey? Is it stretchy? How does it feel when you press your toe into the paper? So have a go at toe painting and see how you get on. Okay, so there are a few ideas on ladybirds. Now, one of the things that I get asked about all the time is, am I not doing my job well if I don't have lots of invitations to play set up for the week? So often we can be scrolling social media, looking on Pinterest, and we see other settings are creating the most wonderful setups and using lots of resources to invite children to create or play with them. And we can start to have some self-doubt if we feel like we're not doing enough of these, or maybe we feel like we don't have a budget to have all the resources that we see online. And does that mean we're not doing a good enough job for the children? Well, actually, the fact that you're wondering this right now is a sign that you're doing your job really well. What you're doing is you're waiting to see what the children are interested in, what's fascinating them. And then what you can do is you can join them and support them in that exact moment, identifying what their interests are or what their schematic play and learning could be. And then moving that learning on in that moment with the way your interactions support and challenge the learning that goes on. And sometimes you might plan an open-ended provocation to challenge or extend or connect learning after you've seen something happen. Now, this might not always be a beautiful or expensively resourced setup. It could be an experience, an event, a visitor, a walk in nature. It could be a book and sharing it together. It could be a nature specimen, maybe some tadpoles to observe, or a nest in the garden, or some flowers in a vase on the middle of the table. You're letting the children lead, and that's key to making learning happen. The quality of your teaching is not about the number of setups that you create in a week. It's about how you respond and support and challenge the children's learning at that time and showing that you're interested in what fascinates them. That's a key point to remember. Often we spend so much time setting things up that the children don't even look at, or it looks so beautiful that the children think it belongs in some sort of museum or gallery and they dare don't touch it. Let's remember that true learning happens when we're rolling down a hill together, when we're out on a walk and we're spotting the ladybirds and the nettles. These conversations, these moments that we're having, this is when the learning sticks, these direct experiences with nature. And they're really crucial for raising that wild, nature-loving child. As I keep saying, my little one, he's 27 months, and already, I'm starting to see just how much he loves nature and how much he cares about it. We did manage to get into the garden one afternoon this week, and he was sat playing in the sand. And next to his sand, we have a nesting bird family, which is just delightful to hear. And I was just stood back watching his play. He was quite happy just playing independently. And then I heard him say, Mummy back soon, Mummy back soon. And he just kept saying it, reassuring the little baby birds that their mummy would be back, which was just the sweetest thing. And then we had a little chat about what the mummy could be doing, and we realized that the mummy had gone to get some food to feed the baby birds. And then we saw her come back, and we could hear the delight of the birds just tweeting away as they were being fed. So even though you might feel like you're not creating as many invitations to play or as many setups, if you're feeling following my Rewilding Nature program, I want you to know that learning is happening. Learning is there. You just need to be an interested and excited adult and join them in that and plan opportunities in response to that. And it doesn't have to be a fancy setup. It can literally be just you sharing a natural artifact or a book. Okay, well, I'm going to head off now. I hope you all have a really lovely weekend. I'm going to be visiting Sweden soon, and I'm really excited about this. We haven't visited Sweden before, well, this part of Sweden. So we are really excited to explore a new part of Sweden, and I can't wait to share with you in future podcast episodes our adventures here. So do stay tuned, do follow my podcast if you're finding it interesting. Do check out my website, www.hugointheearlyyears.co.uk, if you would like to try one of my short online courses, or you'd like to do some more in-depth learning about the Scandinavian way of living and teaching well. Or you could even download some of my digital resources as well. We also have a really wonderful blog. Well, I think it's wonderful. It's got lots of ideas on it about nature-based play, and I have lots of guests that have shared their ideas on it too. So do check it out. Okay, well, have a great weekend, and I will catch you all next week. Take care. Bye.